Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 592. We are in New York this week doing At Midnight All Week as part of the New York Comedy Festival. So in addition to a bunch of amazing New York comedians, we also have some great guest appearances by folks like Stephen Colbert and Ben Stiller and Gilbert Gottfried. So watch At Midnight every night this week. Well, and beyond this week would be nice too. But particularly this week, as we are in New York, for the New York Comedy Festival at Midnight Comedy Central, right after the Colbert Report at midnight, is the Birthday Boys. Now, the Birthday Boys have a sketch show on IFC Fridays at 11:30, and I have been a fan and friends of these guys for years. I first saw them at the UCB many years ago, and Bob Odenkirk's one of the executive producers of their show, but they're one of my favorite sketch groups, and they're such sweet guys, and so I had them all in, and there's a lot of them. So we just sort of lined everyone around a handful of mics and then went to town podcast style. So here's the Nerdist Podcast number 592 with the Birthday Boys.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Got the six.
Yeah,
I did. I got the bigger one.
Yeah. How do you like it?
I like it a lot, actually. I didn't think I would.
Not too big.
Oh, that's the plus?
Yeah.
Well, it's not as big as people said it was.
But it's nice. It's thin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Are there cases yet for the sixes? I haven't seen one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are, but then it would be really big. So I'm just going to chance that I won't drop it. Which I will at some point.
Into a case.
if I dropped it onto a sidewalk made of cases, then it would be okay. If I do not do that, then this phone is going to be damaged quickly. I've already done the thing where I had the headphones in and the phone's in my lap and I'm in the car, but I think it's in my pocket, and I get out and it drops and there's a second where it just sort of hangs and I gingerly like the idol. So I haven't had that, but otherwise it's been okay. Welcome to the podcast, all of you.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, okay, so everyone, I think everyone should just go around and introduce themselves so that everyone at least tries to get a sense of whose voice is whose.
Oh, good luck.
This is Mitch. Hello.
This is Dave.
This is Jeff.
This is Mike.
This is Tim.
And Chris here.
Is completely it indiscernible.
Is it too late?
Exactly the same voice.
Is it too late to change our voice?
It's never too late to change your voice.
Because, I mean, I could just take a different...
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go around again, and then everyone just try to... you get to set whatever the bass voice is.
Okay.
But then everyone else has to come up with a completely different voice. And then... talk that way
for the rest of your
five
life.
5 seconds until the dinner's over.
This is Mitch.
Hey, it's Dave.
This is Jeff.
This is Mike.
Hello, I'm Tim.
And Chris.
We did a lot of
Mike and Tim
rejected.
Sounded like they work in the same Victoria and Colt factory.
And Chris sits on Tim's shoulder.
And Chris.
Fizz is a small, physically challenged boy.
I can't keep doing that voice, so I hope we don't have
to. Oh my god, he's cured! At normal size! Oh, that was really rough for a while there.
I got tired of the voices by the third person.
I was just thinking, don't be offensive, don't be offensive.
And you were. You still made
it. Sorry,
English. You were to like, the Brits.
That's not noise at all, is it?
It's funny. Someone sent me a there's a mini Fuhrer on. Well, no, Fuhrer, not Fuhrer. Fuhrer, not Fuhrer. I didn't mean a small Hitler.
Yeah,
there's a very small Hitler.
It's a good sketch premise already.
He's not as dangerous.
It sounds like Chris's little voice. There is a Fuhrer over. I guess I don't know. I'm not sportsy, but someone at a mascot at a game said that I was holding a sign that said that the other team's towels had Ebola in them.
Ooh.
And people were real mad about it.
Real?
You don't mix sports with comedy on a sign. Like it's not going to come through.
Never.
No matter how you try. On the Jumbotron, your joke will not translate.
So ever.
Made a mistake.
Hey, maybe you guys should do it. That's a fun. Have you guys toured together a lot?
Yeah,
you've had toured.
Yeah.
So you've had the experience where. Someone's probably booked you for something, let's say at college, and they don't really understand how comedy works. And they're like, okay, so before the assembly, we're just going to have you guys get up and just be funny.
Right. You just go.
You know, right before sports practice, we just thought, no, you kind of need everyone to focus.
Our best booking of all time was at an all-night walk-a-thon.
They were literally sleeping.
Like, people were literally people sleeping.
We had to be quiet. We were told to be quiet.
We were doing an improv set to a... five unhappy people.
There's five unhappy people in 50 tents.
Where people were sleeping. Yeah.
Also, it was a walk-a-thon. I don't even get what was happening there.
It was a relay walk. So somebody had to be walking at all times for a 48-hour period or whatever.
Just around in a circle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the quad.
Around the quad.
Also, what? It was like kind of early. It was like 10, right? It wasn't like that
late.
We
didn't get the money slot.
We need a suggestion, please? Be quiet. Shut up.
Okay, now we need a location.
We had fun though. We did have.
We had a great time. Yeah.
What kind of sketches do you? What do you do at an improv?
We showed up with a bunch of props and we were going to do a sketch show, and then saw what the situation was. Brought the props back to the car and said, "We're doing an improv set."
And then we also shotgun beers because we were so embarrassed.
Right.
Do you remember that? We were like, "Let's just try to get drunk."
And we had a guitar. Okay.
Yeah, we sang "Video Killed the Radio Star."
That's
in
right.
Its entirety
over and over. For 48 hours, it was a Video Killed the Radio Star-a-thon, where for 48 hours, you have to be continuing Video Killed the Radio Star.
It's a good cause, so we did it.
How did you guys form?
A bunch of us knew each other loosely at Ithaca College. So six of us went to school there, and we all moved out and started living in the same house together, basically. It was a dump on Fredonia in the valley. And just common interest stuff, started taking classes at UCB Theater together and things like that. But I don't know at what point we had a sketch group formed. The first time we got a laugh.
It was 2007, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
We did our first sketch together.
2007.
First sketch or first time we got a laugh, because it's probably different.
That was like
dates.
2013.
And it was us. Like.
What was your first sketch?
It was a briefcase switcheroo.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a sketch where Tim and I we're on a train and we sort of bungle our briefcases, and through the in the black box theater we leave the train and go to our own homes and open the briefcase and say, oh my god, this doesn't seem like mine. Oh, it is. And we pull out the same exact items out of both briefcases. Happened at the same time.
And it did okay.
It was very fun.
It did well.
Bit, yeah.
I think it was inspiring.
Yeah, I think it won the award that year.
Yeah, did it win the award?
I think so.
The briefcase award?
Mm-hmm.
You won a briefie?
It was a very brief sketch. I don't know.
But is UCB home base, basically?
Yeah, for sure.
When does the new theater open?
It's very open. It's open, but not open for business, basically.
Yeah, they've kind of shown a few people around, and it was we couldn't go. We were at Dave's bachelor party.
Okay, let's. Mom's the word.
Sorry, it's off the market.
What happened at the bachelor party?
We watched SNL.
We watched SNL. Yeah,
it was very dorky.
A very satirical viewing of SNL.
We had two cakes.
Oh, two cakes. two different penis cakes. Yeah, it was.
Hanford and I got him.
Wait, you had a penis cake?
And yeah.
Yeah, we thought that would be funny.
We bought him an erotic cake.
An erotic cake? I don't know. I just feel like someone's going to eat me. It's weird. Marriage is crazy. I don't know.
In little Ethiopia. It was.
Oh, yeah, there is a great cake shop. Do you know the name of that place?
Oh, I know that place you're talking about because I love Ethiopian food. Right. So I know that.
Are you sure it's not because there's a boob cake in the window?
Well,
we know it slows you down.
Come for the boobs, stay for the Ethiopian food. Yeah. Come for the boobs, stay for the injera, is what
yes,
I always say.
Exactly.
It was exotic cakes, I believe, and it was a very awkward process of trying to tell her.
By the way, what color the penis should be.
What's exotic about dicks?
Yeah, it's very true.
Those are, they're not, every guy has a dick. That's the least exotic thing. Is it that there are dicks from faraway lands, or
I think it was all on you. I bet she was as comfortable as could
she
be.
She was. Yeah, I was very nervous. It was your classic. Like I was like, you know, your classic pink.
You know
penis.
What?
Already
yeah,
a racist statement.
Yeah, I didn't.
You know, a normal pink one. A white one. The correct one. What? Just describing in detail. I just want a glistening of sweat on the tip. And just it looks like a hint of open.
There actually was a subtle vein.
Yeah.
It kind of grossed me out.
I couldn't eat that. I did ask
about that too. Mm-hmm. I asked about veins and then I said, I said, you put pubic hair on there or whatever? And she was like,
well, that sounds like a trap. If they're like, okay, describe this normal dick.
Well, oh, boy.
But do you remember what happened? Because I was like, you put, like, pubic hair on there? And she's like, yes, no, we'll put, like, you just want pubic a lot, curly? And I was like, no, just whatever is fine. And then we got it was like a very small patch.
It was a tiny little patch of sprinkles.
It was like a little soul patch of pubic hair just in the middle of the balls, like in the wrong spot.
So we'll try to post an image. We'll try to post an image to your Twitter off. Account.
It looked fine.
You put candles on a bachelor party cake?
You know we
you
did
put
it.
One right in the hole.
If it had actual pubic hair, she was like, ah, fuck these guys.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going with on that.
We gave her the runaround a lot.
Describe your perfect penis.
We kept her there till like 9 p.m. It was kind of a big mess.
Many
up.
Drafts.
Yeah. It was bad.
What was inside the cake? What type of cake was it?
It was chocolate and cream. It was a chocolate cake with white. It was a chocolate cake with white cream inside of it, and it was good.
It was a really champagne tasty. Cake. Right?
I couldn't. No, it was the champagne cake was an. There was another penis cake that was sold. That was.
Oh, isn't that always?
It was
the
in the
way.
Window, mocking us with a big. Sold, son.
Champagne cake is a type of cake, or it actually has champagne
I
in it?
I don't know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We were confused by it. I mean, that was a big hold up. I was like, what do you mean champagne cake? And then I was like, it's in the shape of a penis, though? And she was like, yeah, it's champagne cake. I got confused. I guess it is just like a type of cake batter or something like that.
So. Is it in the shape of a fucking penis? I don't give a goddamn what's in it. I don't need to see how your dicks are made.
This is a $200 joke cake.
That's what it was. And then we brought it in, and they were all completely drunk. And they were like, and just walked away.
For all that.
$200 joke for seconds. Yeah.
And then you only see the dick for a little while, and then once you cut into it, just we're it eating cake gets sliced up.
I think you could have just wrapped two $100 bills around your dick and then just gotten the visual gag.
That was the backup plan.
Who's to say we didn't do that as well?
No one's saying it, and that would have been fine if that's what you wanted for your bachelor party. Would it be weird if a woman jumped out of a dick cake
very
through
large.
The urethra? Would that be strange?
That'd be pretty great. Oh, I don't know if I would pay to see that.
There would be a lot $200. Of mental math happening.
I'm conflicted. I don't know how to feel about this. Half a boner?
It's a homophobe's worst nightmare. No. They don't know how to feel as it's unfolding.
Shit. Am I hard because of the dick or the girl? Or the cake? I don't know, man. You were hard for like a second before she came out of there.
We've evolved, like but in like the early 30s, that's how they determined if you were gay. That was the ultimate gay test.
It's like,
thank God, you know, we're a smarter society now, but for years, that was the only way you knew.
Yeah. Now people are just like, hey, are you gay?
Yeah, you got a problem? No? Okay, okay, great. Fine. Move on. Yeah,
good. Because I believe everyone should be able to be however they want.
We're on the same page here, man.
Yeah. You know, be happy. That's what I always say.
So was this past weekend?
I don't even remember, man.
Two weekends ago.
And guess what? Today is Mike Mitchell's birthday.
What? So, what are you doing a podcast for on your birthday?
Who's his birthday wish?
Gotta get the word out.
Just want everyone to know it's my birthday. When you hear this, it won't be anymore. So. I'm excited to be here on my birthday. It's nice. We'd be at the office editing stuff if not. So that's
Are you going to get a bigger penis cake for his birthday?
With a lady jumping out of it.
Yeah. With a cake lady or a real lady?
Oh, that's really a cake lady. It's a whole nother dimension.
A cake lady jumping out.
Motorized cake lady.
It's the erotic Russian doll of cakes.
That's such a nightmare.
If you could somehow run an electric current through a cake to
get it
up
there,
animatronic, to animate it.
Hey,
and just have a giant cake lady.
You know we're going to see that in the future. Cake humans are going to be around.
So. Well, if it starts anywhere, it'll be in Japan first. They're probably already fucking cake ladies in Japan.
It's the most popular pastime.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd fuck a cake just once.
Sure. Hey,
yeah.
We've seen pies in film.
Hey guys, guess what I just did? Tweet, Instagram. Here's my dick in a cake. I don't see any reason why. I guess it also depends on the kind of cake. I think I'd fuck a red velvet cake.
Yes. Sure. Right. Feels like the smoothest one of all, I would guess.
Tiramisu. Oh,
okay.
Ooh,
very nice.
Ooh, okay.
Nice. Taking it international.
I once saw a movie where a guy had sex with an apple pie.
Oh, with the pie fuckers.
Yeah, pie fuckers.
Great movie.
I can't believe they didn't censor that title anywhere. It was just all over the place. Pie fuckers.
It was rated at the PG. Mall.
Slipped right by.
PG for pie good.
R for I'm covering in a cake.
I worked at a movie theater the summer American Pie 2 came out, and it was so embarrassing to be in there wearing like a popcorn t-shirt, and then all these cool kids from high school and stuff were coming in and going to see American Pie 2. They're like, you work here? And I was like, yeah, I do work.
It's a pretty normal summer job.
What's wrong with that? Doesn't he work?
You're making money.
They made
them.
Fun of me. I mean, also, I think I was just made fun of. I think it was an addition.
So any job.
I hate to break it to you. Right. I think it had nothing to do with your job. I think they thought you were a loser.
I mean, I want to say, I think it's pretty cool that you get to watch movies for free, but also, fuck you.
You shouldn't have worn the popcorn shirt to school either. That was bad.
That was a mistake.
What movie theater was it?
It was AMC in Braintree, Massachusetts. It was the popular movie theater, too. It was very, very embarrassing for me. I remember, like, looking down. I saw kids, like, because I left a school, this, like, private school in Braintree, and I went to a public school in Quincy. And so, like, all these kind of, like, private school kids came in there, and I hadn't seen any of them in forever, and I was, like, had a big, giant cartoon popcorn on my shirt.
You work at the AMC.
That's kind of how it felt, actually. It felt very
I don't understand. You're white. I don't get it.
Viewing the film.
It felt very much Caddyshack-y.
Does your father own this theater?
Am I on a reality show?
Come on. I mean, do you want to come work in my screening room? Bring the shirt.
It was actually, and you know what? They had a right to make. There were a lot of. I worked there with a couple of my buddies, but there were some weird guys there. There was a kid who was like, you know, if like the popcorn falls off the bag and onto the counter, like you can eat that popcorn. And I was like, I don't think that's a rule. I think that's like something.
Shaking the bag on purpose.
Whoops. Order us.
Very cool.
There were a lot of weirdos there. But I got to see American Pie 2 for free, and the Princess Diaries was in at the same time.
Ooh, wow, what a score.
Did you have to pay for that?
I did pay for it. I wanted to pay for it.
You owed it to them.
I like that you said the cool kids had a right to make fun of you guys. Like, you're like defending bullying, basically.
Sometimes they just
have a right to do it.
Bullying has to exist a little bit.
They had just as much right than the kid who could eat the popcorn off the
camera. Yeah, that's right.
The movie theater rights are much different. It's a different bill of rights than our shared communal bill of rights.
I agree completely.
What are the worst jobs you've had? Anyone?
Ooh, telemarketer.
You had to be telemarketer?
Yeah, in Burbank. And I had to walk to work 2 miles.
On the snow?
Back, ways, yeah. And I would be there like reading a book and accidentally read a line from the book onto the phone and confuse people because you can't think about telemarketing all day. It's not possible.
What was the telemarketing for? Are you hearing a buzz, Katie?
Yeah, it's
my phone. Oh, boy.
No, Mike just emits a buzz periodically.
Good.
Get it away from good. There.
What were you telemarketing?
Have you heard of First National Information Network?
Are you asking me or are you telemarketing me right now? Do you want to telemarket me?
Yeah, let's just do a spiel. Ring, ring.
Okay, so here.
Well, Chris, you would answer.
What?
You would answer the phone, I guess.
No, you would say ring.
Ring, ring. Hello?
Hi, would you be interested in information from First National Information Network?
I'm really busy. I'm at work right now.
Have a good night.
Off I go. I'm out.
Okay. Let's do it again. Ring, ring. Hello.
Hi, would you be interested in information from First National Information Network?
Why, yes, I'm sitting here alone and quite bored. Please entertain me.
Okay, well, we have several different types of information. Would you be interested in investing in the film industry, in oil?
This is
real estate. I was just telling my friend the other day, by friend I mean cat, I should invest in either film or oil.
Can you hold while I get a manager?
No, I want to stay on. So don't put me on hold. People have been putting me on hold my whole life.
This would be way farther than I ever gotten a call in 6 months.
This is like second base in telemarketer terms.
Oh, I'd be the king of the whole office.
He didn't hang up.
It's such a fake company. They invest in film and oil.
What it was, I found out later, they didn't tell us this, but we were just generating leads. So if you said you were interested, we just sold your name and phone number to the right.
Oh, wow.
It's the dirtiest thing ever.
Ugh. Maybe that's, film and oil was like popcorn oil
for AMCs. Yeah.
In the fancy part of town.
You get to eat the popcorn that falls on the tray.
I'm so... What I would really love to do is to vote. Well, first of all, we should make $1 billion, and then when we do that,
mm-hmm.
let's put a chunk of that into creating a hackers network that will, because I still get telemarketed, even though I'm on the do not call list.
Sure,
and it's that super shady where they're like, press one if you'd like to lower your interest rate to offer. And as soon as I hear that voice, I get fucking really mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you do, and they answer, and you go, hey, how'd you get my number? They hang up because they're not supposed to be calling you.
Right.
But I would so like one of the things in this world that would satisfy me more than anything is as soon as they hang up to have their phone ring again and go, I'm sorry, it felt like you hung up on me. And then go, aren't you at 239 Stanton Street? Like, I so want to... I want that moment in my life. There's got to be a way.
Yeah. Oh.
The Star 6-9 doesn't work.
No.
No, telemarketer, we've tried that. Wasn't that... That's how you got, like, a pranker?
Yeah, Star 6-9, I think, is phased out now.
Possibly. Oh, really?
I would guess.
Now it's hashtag 6-9.
It still totally works.
There's got to be a way. I think you can... I think you have the resources. You can do it. I don't think you need the billion.
But I think they're using
you don't need the full billion.
It just takes a little gusto, a little stick-to-itiveness.
All right, I guess I just want a billion.
I kind of want to see what hashtag 6-9 is on Twitter. I wonder what.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's about calling back pranks.
I'm sure that's all it is. It's nothing else.
I was a garbage man the year before I worked at that movie theater, which was pretty bad.
Was this when you used to see Tom Brady? And
yes.
Go ahead. Share how you felt about your life at that moment.
I was standing on the back of a garbage truck with seagulls flying around my head. And
so you were like a bird wizard.
I was like a pile. I was like like the trash extended onto the truck, and Tom Brady would, who's the New England Patriots quarterback, would be running the beach in Quincy, and he would, I would just see him, and it was beautiful.
How many seagulls did he have around his head?
Flying around him?
No seagulls.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And I was standing there on the back of the truck like a monster, and he was just running beautifully, and it was the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Did he ever like pick up a can and just like throw a perfect pass trash truck
all every morning?
He was praying that one time you would catch it clean and be like a rookie of the year moment where they put you on the team, take you off that garbage truck, but instead it just hit off your head.
It never nothing ever happened except for I walked near him and grabbed a barrel of trash and threw it in the trash compactor.
Hey, you got good catching hands there. Do you want to come play for the team and fuck my hot wife?
Yes, sir. That's what part of his offer.
Is that what all the rookies get to do?
I think he's always out looking for good catching hands. You see him out in the world. Oh, that's a good pair.
That's part of being a quarterback.
Technically not his job to be doing that. But,
also,
he's just that good.
I just want to say that this might not be interesting to anyone at all, but I don't know if anyone's ever seen a trash dump before, but it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The smell is like overwhelming, of course, but it's giant. They're so big. They're like beautiful. Airport hangers. No, it's not that beautiful.
You should see Mitch's face light up right now. There's a twinkle in his eye.
I had to get like out of the truck to like, because when you dump it, you got to do some stuff in the back to make it dump out. I don't remember anymore. It's been a while, but you get out and there's just like rats running by your feet and stuff, and they have tractors just pushing up these piles, and this is just like on a daily basis. It's so much trash. It's so crazy.
You probably couldn't do that job if you were a germaphobe, right?
Oh God, no, definitely not. No, we
luckily you're a germophile.
I am a germophile.
Mitchell is the only registered germophile in the world.
Okay, what was the most disgusting thing you ever saw?
Oh no,
an empty can.
No.
If it's any more than that, I'm gonna throw
it. It was bone dry.
Well, I worked with this guy who was kind of notorious. Like, the guy who was on the back of the truck with me was kind of like
notoriously clean, notoriously friendly,
like notoriously dumb, I guess you could say. Like, and he would always go, and I loved him. He was a very nice man, and he like was always telling me to come over and visit him with his cats and stuff. And he was a very sweet, sweet man. But he always would go through the trash. Like, he would like be looking at stuff, and he picked up. Should I say this or no?
Yeah, you have to. Yep.
He picked up like a two-sided dildo one day. I was like, look at this thing. And like was like waving it around. And I was like, Jimmy, put it back into the trash. And it was, the weird thing was, is that the dildo was in a bag with a bunch of pictures, framed pictures of like a family.
Those things are often thrown away at the same time.
It was so weird. It was like
that's a literal awkward family photo.
Yes, it was a plastic bag with a bunch of framed pictures of like a man and a woman, and then this dildo. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for a second I thought you were saying that the dildo was in each photo.
No. It was in the plastic bag with
like
it too.
It's a member of their family.
Yeah, it was really, really strange. We picked up the trash in like it was in South Boston where we got it. So I don't know.
Did you return it? And then the long journey to return it to its right.
Yeah. It was like
Tom Brady, you lost this.
It was like Castaway.
But I'll help you find the owner.
It was very much the end of Castaway where I finally delivered.
And then you went back to your bedroom and turned the lights on and off. Remind yourself of home.
You threw the dildo to Tom Brady in a perfect spot.
You get my job, kid.
That it would be like a trash castaway where you're just stuck on this island of trash.
My first day, I picked up a bag of trash and I got scraped, and the guy was like, "You should be careful. There's needles like in there."
No.
So it was bad. It was a bad job. It was terrible. It was really, really bad.
But not as bad as the job you chose to share first as your worst job, which was
movie theater
employee,
air conditioned,
humiliating.
Devastating job.
Probably. Sure, all those same rich kids would be like, Well, I mean, trash is a honorable position. Movie theater.
There's a social side of that one. With the trash one, you know, you smell like a skunk and you go home for the day and who cares? And then with that one, like, it was just socially embarrassing to
That's, you know, so that's so funny that in a young person's brain, and I do understand it, that would be the worst job.
Yeah,
yep. in front of your friends.
Yeah, it just felt so much worse. And when, like, the other night, I was like, oh, I'm a trash monster, man. I don't care.
I'm the coolest guy here.
I'm home.
So no one else had any bad jobs besides telemarketing?
No, it's just a lot of doctors and lawyers and.
speaking of penises, Jeff's parents have a chocolate factory and they make chocolate penises.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Not just that, though. They make totally respectable. Oh,
they make respectable candies, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Pussies and babies.
Pussies, breasts. Yeah. I didn't, like, grow up in a chocolate factory, though. This is a new thing. My parents wanted to own a business, and then I found the molds of boobs.
But when your dad's name is Willy Wonka.
I was
right?
rooting around. Yeah.
He goes by Bill now.
Yeah.
Bill Wonka.
Didn't the mold of the boobs were missing for a long time and your parents were wondering where they were?
And they found them in your bathroom cabinet.
They found them under your pillow with a crusty towel.
Because you can fill the molds with anything.
They're molds.
It doesn't have to be chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Could be plaster of Paris. I have a pretty bad job.
What?
A writer in a 7-man sketch group.
Whoa! Oh,
how goes?
7 is a big number for a
It's
sketch
a huge
group.
Number.
Yeah.
Yes. It really is.
Too big.
It's a lot.
I think Monty Python was 15.
That's true.
I think.
It worked out great for them.
I think they were 30.
Yeah.
I think there was 30 of them. 7. What's the ethnic background of everyone in the group?
Well, you know, Chris is Caucasian. Tim is Greek, Caucasian. We try to make up for it with length of hair and
right. We're all different
shirts.
Heights. We're not the same exact height. That is one thing.
All of your dimensions are varied.
Yes, our dimensions are very varied.
How tall are you, Mitch?
I'm 6'2".
So we
and
run.
I'm
the,
6'1" and a half.
We run the gamut from 5'10" to 6'2".
And everything in between.
Most of us are male.
As we established, I have some sort of trash in my blood now.
Mitch is part trash man, yes.
If I got scraped on my first day working as a garbage man and it was 10 years ago, I'd still be like, I'm sure I must have gotten something in my system.
Yeah, I felt that way for very, very long.
I stepped on a nail at the dump one day. I worked for my uncle doing like contract work, and I wore sneakers to the dump. Which you're not supposed to do.
No.
And a nail went right up into the old heel.
I was like, you got home alone?
The heel?
You got home alone? You got sterned at the dump?
I think it was on Christmas Day.
Macaulay Culkin was trying to defend the dump.
Yeah. He would put those nails up on Christmas Day and you stepped
what
on
What were you
them.
Doing there on Christmas Day?
Looking to get scraped.
Last minute shopping.
I think they should do a. It'd be fun if someone did the attack scene in Home Alone, but all the effects that would really happen.
Yeah.
If you
real
physics,
like,
over they, so fast.
They die on the first gag.
One
drop dead.
One big hand.
And Kevin endearingly burying the bodies in the backyard.
He didn't mean for it to go this far.
I thought you were saying the paint can would miss and then they just beat the kid to death.
Yeah, there's that.
That is the other outcome.
No, Chris, you forget there was a spider in
Oh, I forgot about the spider.
They would just beat him against the stairs like an orca with a seal. And then the McAllisters would come home and find this dead kid.
Right. Well, and the neighbor would turn out to actually be a creep who puts bodies in a trash can.
He has the shovel.
This is a good movie. This is a good movie because if you reverse all the expectations, I'm seeing it.
First of all, getting the thing where his scalp gets burned.
Right?
I mean, that would have just burned off his hair.
Totally.
Yeah.
That'd be fun effects too. Oh man.
I also like the version of where Macaulay Culkin kills those guys, and then the rest of the movie is just him on trial for inviting
like
people.
But there would never be a trial because he was just defending his, like, he was a little kid alone.
But you can't invite people in to be killed, right? Isn't that, like, isn't that messed up? Isn't there some
entrapment?
Sort of...
Or basically just what happens is that he just basically develops a bloodlust, and for the rest of his life has to build these increasingly, like, Dexter-style Rube Goldberg kill machines.
Becomes Jigsaw. It,
yeah.
Well, the good son. The good son is like a direct link.
Yes. Yeah, it goes Home Alone, The Good Son, Jigsaw.
I am so in love with Kevin.
It all checks out.
It's Kevin McCallister.
Got the mask, just game Jigsaw.
And then the reason, and it totally makes sense too, because he was formed because he was attacked by evil people.
Yeah.
So he basically, throughout the rest of his life, he tries to get people to repent.
Right.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah. Oh my God.
What is the talk boy if not his first communication device?
Oh, you know. Maybe this was planned out. That's crazy.
Could be.
Hello, could wet be. Bandits. I understand you like water.
You can do this. This can happen.
Oh,
that's incredible.
God.
This can happen.
I mean, this is a... If only there was a sketch group to make it. That could somehow...
That sounds like it's going to need 8 members. To...
If you do it, I want to be in it, and I want to play the Cary Elwes character.
Okay. Yes.
We'll do it. Well, we'd love to, but we just don't have someone who looks exactly like... Macaulay Culkin. Damn this.
Wait, put your hands up on your face.
Close enough. Yeah. I mean, he's got the hands.
Totally.
You can't see it, folks, but I'm doing a dead ringer.
That's kind of amazing. I bet you could probably actually get Macaulay Culkin to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. He has like a band
about pizza. Yeah.
Hey, if you're listening, we'll do it. Just Macaulay, just call us. I'm sure our number is just widely available.
Our phone number.
Yep. That's how it gets made. But you would be surprised how many ideas we don't do because we don't have enough people. How many sketches have we turned down?
Yeah. Right. Million Man Monologue.
Any women? We have no women.
Yeah. No. This year we got a bunch of cool people this year. Because Bob, you know, is doing Better Call Saul.
Bob Odenkirk, yeah, is
Bob
one
Odenkirk,
of the
executive producer, and Ben Stiller. So what we did is, since Bob was in every episode last year, this year we have a bunch of guests. So we had Dana Carvey, we got Jack Black, we got Casey Wilson, Lennon Parham.
And they're all, if you guest on our show, you're permanently in the group.
Right.
So we count as members.
We're almost in Monty Python territory.
So you're basically, it's like a snowball effect where everyone that you roll over becomes a part
it's
of
like
it.
A,
whether they want to or not.
Katamari sketch.
I wish Dana's in the room. We should be letting him talk a little bit more.
Yeah.
He says it wouldn't be prudent.
Oh yeah.
God damn it. How dare you?
The man was nice enough to be on our show.
Hey, I goofed around with him about that. He loves doing that voice.
He does.
Dana Carvey is the funniest guy in the world. Yeah. He did every bit you would ever want him.
He's not one of these dudes who's tired of people being like, "Do George W. Bush." Like he was a delight.
Do George W. Bush? Not gonna do it. That's probably the stock answer. Yeah. Hey.
It's like a who's on first type of thing. He refused to do the bit.
We did have that moment where we were like. Like watching him in awe and being like, what are you doing on our show? You should be like, you should be on every show. He's the funniest guy on earth.
He
kind
of quit for a while, right? Because he had a heart problem.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I think I should probably just be with my family for a while.
Right.
And
he needed to find a show that wouldn't make him laugh hard enough or startle enough to upset his condition. So luckily he found the birthday book.
Jesus.
But he's doing more stuff now because his sons that he like took time off to raise a family, and both of his sons are comedians.
Doing
now.
Comedy,
they
yeah.
They both moved down to LA and are.
Oh, that's
comedy.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
He was the nicest man on earth. Yeah. He was so nice to us. It was crazy.
Everybody was. Yeah, it was a really fun season.
Did you ever hear that story? This is a. I guess it's an urban legend, or maybe it's a thing that actually happened. I heard it years ago where. Someone ran up to John Cleese on the street and they're like, oh my God, I love you so much. A Monty Python changed my life. And you know,
And then John Cleese just like laid into the guy. And he was like, "You silly little man, how dare you talk to me? This was a small moment of my life and you should get over it and grow up." And it, like, just fucking laid into the guy. And the guy was completely shattered. And Cleese turned around to walk away and then silly walked all the way.
That's amazing.
That's so funny. That is awesome.
Tim and I were at Cat and the Fiddle once, hanging out. We had some friends over hanging. And we heard an English person screaming behind us. And we're like, who is that? It was Johnny Rotten yelling at someone who asked him for his autograph.
Which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want.
It was like, that guy sounds a lot like a Sex Pistols. Oh, it is.
I won't sign this thing. he's gotta be that way, though. Like, there's certain people that you you want them to. That's like, that's part of the experience. That's part of the John Lydon experience, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. We've already started to craft our little signature leave-behinds. Like, Mitch gives people a piece of trash. As just a small token.
And whatever popcorn spills out of it, they get to eat.
They can keep it. That's absolutely true.
I give them some of the penis cake I took from the bachelor party.
Right. Well, they've all been defined in the last 2 weeks. So.
Right.
We do the opposite. We approach people we think might be fans and ask them if they're fans.
Yeah.
They're not. Usually.
We usually get berated.
They walk off.
Hey, you look like a Birthday Boys fan.
Well, whose birthday is it?
You guys, years ago, when I first started Nerdist, I was like, "Oh, I really want to make videos and stuff." And you were the first people that I called and said, "Do you guys want to do something?" And you sent me this amazing, Star Wars video. Yeah. But I had it, and I got so excited, and I had nowhere to put it. I hadn't launched the YouTube channel yet, and I wasn't able to host video on what was at that time a typepad blog. And so,
you're just walking around with a sketch in your pocket.
Really great sketch. Whatever happened to that sketch? Did you post it anywhere?
I think it existed in some form at a live show or two.
And we got some new Star Wars movies on the way.
Yeah,
it's relevant. Good.
It's relevant
again. Can we post it now?
Yes,
sure.
I'd love to post it.
It's a huge blast from the past. Should. Also, there's a scene. This season, we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, but we almost a decade later, we made another Star Wars.
We've been writing this whole time.
We're the first sketch group, and I'll say this right now, the first sketch group to do a Star Wars sketch.
The very first. No one else, I don't think, has done anything like that before.
I don't think so.
But yeah, that one was kind of a subtle homage. This other one is like an overt, over-the-top parallel universe. Where there was another Star Wars film. This one was one word, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
No space. And there's a pocket of people that were a huge fan, and it has a lot of the same things that you recognize from the Star Wars universe.
Some characters are the same, but they use machine guns instead of laser guns, and they swear a lot.
And they
more.
Say bastard a lot.
You bastard.
But Han Solo's also in it.
Yeah. Thomas Lennon is our guest star for that sketch. So.
So I would imagine the first season of your show is probably all the sketches that all of your A-list stuff that you've had years to hone.
Tap
and
in.
Season two is like, we gotta start over.
Yeah. How about a guy with a hat?
Shoot it. I don't care.
Wait, it's not a funny hat. I don't care.
I fucking care. We have to make another show.
That sketch is called The Unfunny Hat.
So how do you take that on? Did you have enough old stuff that you were able to, not old, but I just mean like tested? Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think it seems like the challenge behind sketch is that it's kind of a version of like related to stand up, and that you sort of form a relationship with your audience in sketch comedy. So how do you, when you don't have an audience to bounce off of?
Yeah, we lean hard on like big concept premise-y stuff. I think partially for that reason of like, you watch some shows, it's all so character first or monologue first, for Chappelle or somebody who has a whole stand up set. Yeah. So we'll come in with like big high concept ideas, which was a lot of our 8 years of doing live sketch comedy together, was just doing the biggest, silliest ideas. So I think this year, working with Bob and just having another season under our belts, it was easier to start from a smaller area and have fun with character and let things breathe.
And it's more fun to write new stuff, because when you're doing an old sketch that you've done live,
there's almost no like fun in the process because you're just like, are we doing this right? Or is this how we can only screw this up. How you adapt it to TV? So we didn't do too much old stuff this year just because it was...
It made editing way more fun to come into stuff that we'd never seen before.
Well, that's the other challenge with editing for sketch is that when you're doing a live show, you basically have the whole picture on stage.
Right.
So how do you know when you're shooting it what elements to focus on, what elements to keep? Like, some things are... I mean, I see some sketches get ruined, like when they cut to a close-up. It's like, oh, that should have just been like in the
Living
background.
Yeah.
We worry about that all the time.
Yeah.
That's our lives. The last 3 months is just like the boring mathematical part that like no one wants to even know about is what we've been doing, where it's like, his lips should move more in that moment, and it just will drive you insane.
It's an easy thing to nitpick, too, because, you know, everything becomes a little mini-movie. Yeah. And everybody's got a passion project, and you think that that moment matters so much, and then you screen it for somebody that's totally removed, and you're reminded, like, oh, no, the first six lines were fun, too. I just was hung up on this one. Yeah.
There's been so much
wrinkle.
Stuff where you're like, you get so into it, and then I'll be like, he needs to put his hand up right there. And then, like, you're like, what? Like, you step back, you're like, you're arguing over, like, a movement or something?
Did Odenkirk mentor you guys at all? In terms of, like, here's what
process.
We did on Mr. Show.
Yeah.
That was helpful.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I mean, he was in the writer's room from day one of the first season, and he was in the writer's room for all of this season. And he comes by the edit bay, and, you know, he even directed a bunch of stuff in season one. So I think he's probably one of the best people to convince you to kind of walk away, let things sit, have fun with it. Don't get too hung up on any one thing. But yeah, I mean that was he used a lot of Mr. Show tap-ins.
Yeah,
too,
for sure.
Because of it, they decided to film Better Call Saul right in our edit bay. So it's
just the whole time, just to make it easier for him.
It feels a little claustrophobic in some of the lawyer scenes. It's like they're sitting between.
And
two
by
men.
Lawyer scenes, Saul Goodman's now an editor.
Oh yeah.
have you gotten a peek of anything of any Saul stuff?
No. He's.
Just
he's
the
told
final
us
episode,
some things, but yeah.
It made no sense.
it sounds really fun. I think it's a lot of hard work. I mean, he's away a lot.
Yeah,
and they're really grilling him, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty amazing.
We tried to squeeze some information out of him, and we're like, so? And he's just like, it's going to be fun.
He'll say, like, oh, I shot a scene today that was so good, and it was... Yeah, I mean, you'll see it.
That was crazy. During, like, Breaking Bad, too, like, it was mounting. It was, like, a cultural phenomenon. There were, like, 3 or 4 episodes left, and then he would be like, guys, this next one is so crazy.
Like, I did a scene.
Oh, that last season, every episode was fucking...
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible. What a good... I mean, I don't... Vince Gilligan is so, like, that writing staff was so brilliant at storytelling. I'm not even sure what you can really learn from them because it's so high end.
Right.
They're like, yeah. I guess
they're playing
I just
a different game.
You couldn't do it. Yeah, if you tried.
Just be perfect.
Just be perfect in every way. And that's the lesson.
We met Vince Gilligan at Bob's birthday. And I went up to him and I said, like, he was talking to these guys and I was like, it's nice to meet you, but, I'm behind on the show, so I don't want any spoilers. But I had to leave. Like, I walked away.
Because that's all he does, walk around telling people how it ends.
You guys had, like, we were having a conversation about, like, the show, and I couldn't hear any of it.
He was explaining the multiple RVs thing. Remember, he was like, they actually didn't get the RV that they wanted. And so there was a whole bunch, because we were just talking about how you can get hung up on little things and, you know, nitpick things. And he was just explaining how important it was to track down this one guy's weird RV. And then they had to get, I think, like two of them.
He couldn't get the one he wanted because they couldn't buy as many of
that
one.
Right. And they had to blow one up or something.
Yeah.
But he's got this crazy, Vince has this crazy comedy knowledge, too. Like, it was like, you know, you expect to walk into that conversation and ask him some little question about his show because it's so amazing. But he's so aware of every second of Mr. Show. He had seen our show and mentioned something. It was like...
Yeah, he was pumping us for spoilers about our show.
You get it.
But he knows nothing about meth.
He knows nothing about
crazy.
Meth.
They walk
he
was asking like, us questions.
Hey, guys, when's Mitch going back into the garbage business? How did you know that? Amazing.
But I guess it really is about just being... thorough, maybe? Yes. Is that the takeaway?
He's got a thorough brain. He can follow through on everything. It was amazing.
Well, and that unfortunately can sort of, it's like what you were saying, it can sort of fuck you up with comedy where you get so into minutia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it just starts getting more and more microscopic. I mean, I guess the analogy is like if you're in a band and you spend so much time, like in this verse, this lyric is a reference to this thing, and you can, and the music dips, and it's in this note. It's the first letter of the name of a girl, and then someone's like, "No, I just like the part that's like na 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 na." Yeah, and other people just don't.
That part where everybody says "Hey" at the same time.
We did after the first season. Like we I think we kind of learned that lesson of like. Like, oh, like, this moment has to be perfect. But then, like, more so than anything, like, if you come out and you're like, "Hi, how are you?" People, like, laugh. It's like,
oh, all they want is a funny voice.
People like to be asked how they are.
That's how season 2 starts.
Hi, how are you?
You're just
well,
gonna do...
I have this one sketch that's a very deep, incisive takedown of the way the government views. And another guy's like, "Hey, yeah."
That's also how we, in hindsight, I think we've done that too before, where we're like, "Oh, that sketch kind of like is a comment on this thing," when it's not at all.
It's mostly about a dumb voice. Yeah.
Like we had that Kari sketch, and it's like that could be like about pollution or something. It's like, no, it's not.
Most of our sketches are about like trying to comment on things and failing.
Yeah, a little topical, back-ended topical relevance for you.
Attempted comments. Yeah. How many episodes did you guys do for the new season?
There's 10. And that was 10 in season 1, too. So it's crazy because you that is so many sketches. Like, even though it's only 10 episodes, that's like, you know, it's 6 or 7 like, concepts in each episode.
It's like 80 sketches.
Yeah, so the schedule and the number of ideas, because we don't do a lot of, we do like a runner in each episode, like a through line element, kind of like Mr. Show. But we don't have a ton of recurring characters. So you can't do that thing as much as
like, let's just throw Pizza Foot in there.
Yeah, and you gotta shoot through Pizza Foot before you can move on to something else.
He just has one foot that's a pizza. And Macaulay Culkin writes songs about it.
Oh, that's 2 sketches we've come up with on this podcast. Season 3 is half done.
We have to cast Macaulay Culkin.
Well, that's the only caveat.
He becomes the Culk of the show. I was unhappy with that as soon as the first syllable left my mouth. That was one of those ones I'm like, "Don't do it." I already started. It's because of the way my mom taught me how to drive. Like, my mom was a very much like, if you start to go, you fucking go. Like, don't stop, because that's how accident... Like, once you go, commit to going. And unfortunately, that just carried into comedy. It's like, once I open my mouth, I'm like, "I'm just going to do it."
I don't understand where your mom's philosophy has a benefit. Because if you, like, T-bone a guy in an intersection, and then you, like, pile drive
him on... That'd be good, Mom! I win! That'd be good!
Still going.
No, but I think it was just... you know, like if you're pulling out,
don't second guess.
Don't stop. Like if you're making a left turn,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't like stop because you see cars coming. Just like you're already in the internet. Just fucking keep going.
Mm-hmm. That's merging. There's I was on a Harold team with Hanford, and I just remember like they were so much like, "Hey, if you commit, like if you do something, you just got to commit to it." And I remember one time like doing this, making this big choice, and I was like, "No one's laughing," and I was like, "You just got to commit to it." And I did it for like 2 minutes and just like dead silence from everyone in the theater, and I was like, "Oh God, what have I done?" Like, that stuff maybe isn't true all the time. Maybe you should commit abandon to on
no
a bit.
No rule is true all the time. By the way, the Nudist Podcast is not an official driving school, so please don't take my mom's advice and then sue me. "Your mom said to go and I hit a kid." Well, I didn't tell you to do that. Please don't do that.
It is, however, an official guide to how to do comedy. So if you get out an improv scene and you do a bad character choice, you stick to
you
it.
Stick
you
to
stick
it.
To
you
it.
You do it every week until you are asked to leave and you have to take a job at a movie theater.
You make it your gilly and you don't stop until it is.
Have people been suing the podcast a lot lately? Or?
No.
Yeah, what's with the disclaimer?
No, I'm not allowed to talk about it. No, I...
Pizza is a pizza foot.
Pizza foot. He just doesn't. He feels the term is derogatory.
I feel like that like sounds like, oh, it's like a fun thing. But if that disease existed, it would be like the one of the grosser things.
But it's actually edible. Like you could. Look,
oh, that's amazing.
Now, what did you picture for pizza foot? I pictured a guy with like just like a New York slice of pizza on his foot. Not, yeah. But I guess it could just be a whole pizza, or it could be a foot that's foot shaped, but just like super fucked up.
Yeah, I pictured thin triangle.
I figured a thin triangle too.
I pictured a totally regular guy with one pepperoni for an eye, and everything else was normal.
That's a different guy.
I know, but that's what I pictured.
That's what I was picturing too, though.
Well, that's then Tim and I, two people can't be wrong.
Pizza Foot, he's a pirate.
I'm Pizza Foot the pirate. I have a pepperoni for me eye and a pizza for a foot.
That might be the bad guy in Veggie Tales, possibly. We've never seen it, so that's a huge possibility.
Yet another lawsuit.
Oh, you guys, you probably want season 3 around the corner for all this comedy gold.
We got the ideas galore.
I mean, it's fun to not have to rely on other people when you want to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have a group of people, it's like, well, I can't do my thing unless at least some people are on board. Does that ever get frustrating?
Definitely. Both things are true, by the way. I think we exist because we needed the momentum of more people early on to make sure that what you're doing is worth doing. But then the challenge is just balance.
Sure, but also I think, like, if I want to do my thing and then one guy says it's not good, I no longer want to do my thing. I'm like, yeah,
nobody here is like, no, I gotta do this
my thing.
No, you're right. Do you write individually or do you write as a group?
Both.
A bit of both. Yeah. We do have a pretty, like, solid communal taste. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I think so. I think if there was, like, if we were to ever give advice as a group, I think it is to find people that you like and work with them. But then also, like, I feel like when you see great stand-ups and stuff like that, and Eddie Pepitone,
right,
like, used to make fun of us. Like, we would go on and do a bit, all seven of us, because it took seven of us to be on stage. And then Eddie Pepitone would be like, there was, like, a bunch of circus cowards.
Yeah.
He called us 35 cowards.
Yeah.
And then he called himself the lone wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a great bit.
It's true.
I can picture it going, I wish I could get on stage with 18 other people. Yeah. I wish I could do it.
That happened, like, 3 times in a month for some reason. We were always before him.
And because we were dorks, we were taping our our sketches from the booth. So we have the rants on mini DV tape somewhere.
Oh, you should get his permission and just put that
we'll
on the show.
We'll sell him to Eddie for his next documentary.
Eddie Pepitone heckles sketch groups.
That'll be great.
Kids in the hall. How many? What's the hall?
And they're kids. It's true, though. We have the opposite. We have the opposite approach. And sometimes it pays off. The group attitude, big fun stuff. We tend to do high energy sketches, which is a lot harder to do if you're like one soft spoken guy. Mm-hmm. But you get seven soft spoken guys, brings out the beast with
them. Then we're barely not silent.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is the goal ultimately? Besides, is it like, do you want to make films, or do you want to just keep making the show or tour? Like, as a sketch group, what?
Yeah, to continue to exist in some form sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. We talk about sharks.
We talk about sharks. Uh-huh. That's our movie pitch about one shark that washes up on the beach of a very dumb town, and the people come to the shark to die.
Like, people keep getting eaten by the shark as they, like, walk by it, and it just, like, eats them as they walk by.
Are we not in this movie? It's just starring a shark?
Yeah, the shark is the main vehicle.
It's a two-hour movie of just that scene.
And that is our best movie idea.
That is our best movie idea. And then, like, accidents keep happening where water, like a sprinkler breaks and it waters the shark so it stays alive. We thought a lot about it.
2 hours, you have to come up with mechanisms.
We have toured some, and it's really fun. I mean, like, I didn't think of us as filmmakers for a long time, or because we did so much live comedy together, that was kind of our bread and butter. But it's been really fun to collaborate on this and have at least the semblance of a budget to pull off ideas that we didn't previously attempt, but yeah, I'll keep working with any of these guys in pairs, but not as.
I think our real goal is just to make as much money as possible.
Sure, yeah.
I'm thinking about investing in Tim's oil company.
We want to work on that Star 69 idea.
Yes.
Where you get to 69 a famous person for charity?
That's right. Via phone.
Would it be awkward if I chose Bob? You know?
No, oh, go ahead.
Oh, you sure, all right, buddy. Hey, you want to 69 me for charity? Okay,
sure thing.
He might do it.
Yeah, I think we're... yeah, because you never know what will happen with the show, and we've liked doing it a lot like that. But maybe we'll work on... You know, I feel like we're now stuck together forever.
I think the question is, do we have to commit to it now? If we have to, we will. If you want us to combine right now and
I have a team of lawyers and a notary.
There's witness.
That's what he has to do is come in. I need you to sign.
All right. Exactly. I'm in. Right. I'm in for the Home Alone movie. I'm in for...
It's a movie now?
Yeah.
No, I'm so... It's one of my favorite things ever of Kevin McAllister as Jigsaw is one of my favorite things.
I think we have to make it then. And I'm making the pact right now. Well, you're now, as you know, we add members. We don't leave this room without you.
That's right.
So now this 8-member monster will make that
this
film.
This is fantastic. We could probably still get Pesci and Daniel Stern.
Oh, yeah.
I would think.
Definitely.
Why did Joe Pesci stop doing movies?
I don't know, but we tried to get Daniel Stern in these.
Yeah,
we couldn't get Daniel Stern for our show, but we can get him for this sketch. Yeah. I think for sure.
I would think so.
I think so.
He's
too.
Holding out for a Home Alone sketch.
Loves doing Home Alone stuff.
Nobody's asked me yet.
Wait, Kevin is Jigsaw? Yeah.
If you think about it, it makes sense.
Then, I guess the talk boy is the first communication device.
And then just as an extra added layer to make it as clunky as possible, then he has to narrate it like the Wonder Years. And I knew at that moment I would always have to kill forever.
I'm sure he's in.
I also like that your Daniel Stern impressions were like your first British character impressions that you did.
That's my impression, baby.
Just doing his impression.
Do President Taft.
Look out, everybody. Here I come.
His famous tagline.
The lamp's already
knocked over a lamp.
Okay, for those of you who aren't in the room right now, the lamp just fell.
Oh, I'm freaking out.
Oh, the lamp
that
just
was
broke.
Amazing.
If you tell,
I wish we had that document.
I backed into one of these cheap floor lamps that everyone had in college.
I
will say, I've been nervous about that happening the whole time.
By the way, this is something that Taft would have done. He was a very large man.
Classic Taft.
I love that Jeff's impression had nothing political.
Nothing to do with
you could
anything.
Have said anything presidential and you'd say, what'd you say? Hey guys,
hey,
here I come.
He was warning ahead that he was coming.
I assumed everybody was the United States.
Before every speech.
Yeah. Here I come to be president?
Jeff, if you tell a joke that breaks a lamp, that's like, you get points for
that's a lamp breaker.
That is a total lamp breaker.
Yeah, you've heard of knee slappers and lamp gut breakers. Busters.
It's a lamp breaker. Well, the new season is October 17th.
Yep, at 11:30.
It's December-ish. It's March Brewer.
You were close enough with November. I mean, you can DVR it well into November if you
October
want.
17th.
Yeah.
People should watch it when it airs.
They should watch it when it airs.
IFC.
On IFC.
Friday nights?
Yeah.
That's right.
Friday nights, 11:30, the best time to be in front of the old tube. We're on right there.
Right. That's our catchphrase. Yeah. Right. Good time to be next to the old tube that we're on.
Right there.
Right after Comedy Bang Bang. Yeah, your friend and ours, Mr. Scott Aukerman.
Scott Aukerman.
And season one is streaming on Netflix right now.
Yeah. And you have to catch up because we get these storylines going from sketch to sketch, and if you miss just one little detail...
No, but you said before that there aren't any.
Huh? That's the beauty. You can jump in on episode 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. Anytime.
Excellent.
But keep your lamps safe.
Season 2 is coming. Lock up the lamps.
Lock up your lamps, kids. The birthday boys are coming back. Season 2. Excellent. All right, cool. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, where are you reachable via social media?
At the Birthday Boys on Twitter. And we'll keep you updated.
Do you all tweet from the same account, or does one person?
We do. We do share that one.
Split
yeah.
Around, yeah.
We split around.
We have individual ones, but they're
it's
many.
20 characters each that we each get to.
Oh, what's right you have to tweet? You should try a couple of those and just see how it plays out.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone. The end. That's it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.